You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams indeed, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Heading to number two in today's Triple Dipper, we're going to talk about the Alabama legislative session because the legislature comes back in next week. We only see the legislature come into session, generally speaking, once a year. Sometimes they have what's called special sessions, but the regular session is generally starting in the first couple of months of each year, and the House and Senate does convene here very shortly. And on the phone with us is the president of the Senate, which is the lieutenant governor of our state, Will Ainsworth, and we're glad to have him on Right Side Radio. Lieutenant Governor, thank you for joining us here today.
Hey, good afternoon. Hope everybody had a great Christmas and a happy new year, and looking forward to 2022.
Absolutely. Glad of it. And I know you got some hunting time in. I saw your pictures on social media. So you and the boys spent some time in Arkansas, I think, doing a little hunting, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we went out there between Christmas and New Year's while they were out of school. I had a great time. And when they're out of school, try to spend time with them hunting. And certainly a great way to bond and build a relationship with the kids.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And hey, listen, so we're headed into session, Governor, and you'll be sitting there with the gavel in your hand. I guess my first question for you is, I'm looking at an article in the Montgomery Advertiser talking about COVID protocols, and apparently there's going to be a meeting today, with the Department of Public Health. Is there going to be a restriction on attendance by the general public in the State House, and what protocols are you looking at this year? Because it's been a little limited the last couple of years.
Well, I hope not. I'm going to certainly push to let it be open and let each person decide what they want to do. I think, honestly, Phil, we've got to look at this now, like the flu or like a cold or like, some virus going through, and realize that, there's vaccinated people that have got boosters that are getting this. Now, granted, they're not getting as sick, which is a good thing, but we've got to learn to live with COVID. It's going to continue to mutate. It's going to continue to infect people. We can't just shut down society. So I'm going to certainly push to have the State House open to the public 100%, where they can interact with their legislators. And, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, there'll be options where you can certainly watch committees and watch the floor virtually. But or if you need to do other stuff to protect yourself, you can. But I hope there's not any restrictions.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And I know we're starting to see things like the Alabama Policy Institute, where I still do quite a bit of work. We've got an event scheduled down there in Montgomery on the first week of February, and we just got word that the archives may actually be closing a month in advance, thinking that it might be too scary to be open, I guess. And so I hope that's not a harbinger of things to come, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to. But certainly I'm going to push and whatever power I have to make sure that we keep things open and allow people to live their life normally. We've got to get back to normal. That's important. And we can't let this virus just control the narrative. And again, we got to look at what's going on. People are, the vaccine's working. People have immunity. They've got it before, and they're not getting as sick. So that's a positive.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I have a doctor that came on the show here a few times, but he pointed out literally that the nature of viruses is to mutate in such a way as to preserve its own life. They don't want to kill off the host. They want to find a way. The virus wants to find a way to survive. So it's going to become more and more manageable, he believes, over time. But okay, I didn't call you on just to talk about COVID. Really, the legislative session is what we're talking about. So kicks off next week. I recognize that you're technically the executive who presides over one of the bodies, the Senate, but yet you see the legislative agendas. You know what's coming. What do you think are the big ticket items for this particular session? You got anything in mind?
Yeah, we've got a couple of agendas. And as you know, I'm chair of the Military Stability Commission, and also, small business commissions in our wheelhouse. And so we have some bills dealing with that. Some deal a little bit with aerospace as well. It's another area we work in. But on a small business commission, we're looking at a bill, and we got to see if we can get these passed, dealing with the business privilege tax. Getting rid of that for businesses, having a threshold on the personal property tax. That's another bill. One I think you'll really like is change. We've got a big problem with people, once they go on unemployment, you know, right now I think the rule is they got to look for unemployment like once a week, right? And there's not a whole lot of teeth in that. So we've got a bill. We've been working with Rosemary Elbash and the NFIB and other small business leaders, but change the once a week job search for drawing unemployment and change it to where they'd have to search for work 5 times weekly and document their job search, then report that to the Department of Labor to make sure they continue to draw unemployment. But, yeah, you know, what I want your listeners to realize is we got to get people back working. This dependence on government has to end, and it's time for Alabama to take a strong stand. And one of our bills through a small business commission will do that, because we're going to create a whole generation that's dependent on government and not understanding what it means to work, and we've got to stop that now.
I think we're just about there. I don't think we're creating it. I think we're there. I mean, you saw how many people enjoyed the enhanced unemployment compensation. I was glad Alabama stopped it earlier than some, but nonetheless, we just basically paid people to sit at home. And you know, how much good did that do for our country? Not a whole lot when you look at the economy. So totally agree. And doing away with the business,
right? And that'll.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And we think that'll help, making them actually right now where there's not any teeth, there's not a whole lot of enforcement to where there's more. They have to actually go out and actively be searching for a job. You know, look, if somebody can't get a job, that's a different story, and they're trying to, right?
I mean, right.
But if they are just not actively doing it, because right now they can just apply, never show up for the interview, and that meets the requirements. That's not – we want somebody to actually – we want to make sure these people are looking for work. You know, also the unemployment trust fund – you know, potentially look at making sure we get that back to pre-pandemic levels so there's not going to be a tax increase on small businesses. Workforce development continues to be a big problem. You know, there's a bill dealing with potentially giving some money to community colleges, helping with specific credentials to, you know, that are needed right now in our state to get them. And so that's some of the things we're looking at from the Small Business Commission.
Well, I think those are worthy. I especially like the one on unemployment compensation, having to prove that you're looking for a job. But I also really like the one about doing away with the business privilege tax. To me, it's kind of antithetical to common sense and free markets to basically make someone pay for the privilege of being allowed to do business. And that's what it basically boils down to. So I think if you can do that, that would certainly be met with a favorable response. Let me ask you this, though, moving on to the other topics. I'm hearing right now, and I haven't talked to him personally in a little bit, but my former colleague, Republican State Senator Greg Allbritton, says that he plans to bring back a constitutional amendment to do a compact with the Poarch Creek Indians and expand casino gaming in the state. That bill was a debacle last year. What do you see on that one? Is it coming back? Has it got traction in an election year? What do you think?
Man, I haven't had one person bring that up to me, meet with me, discuss that at all. So I can't think that has any traction at all and it's going anywhere. You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, as you know, in a session, sometimes things can pop up and, you know, get wheels quick. But, I mean, I think right now I'm not aware of any momentum on that.
Well, I wouldn't think so. I mean, every year as a state senator, every year I would have somebody or some people saying, hey, can we look at a lottery in our state? And that one, I think by itself has always been somewhat, you know, has potential. But then the expansion of casino gaming, especially when they were looking at giving a monopoly to the same people who've been breaking our laws for the last 20 years, I've never had a single constituent ask me to expand casino gaming in the state of Alabama. Not once. So I think that one probably needs to die, and I would suspect in an election year it probably will.
I think you're right.
What about this? Do you see anything out there, Governor, on school choice? Because, you know, one of the things that, like President Trump said, school choice is the civil rights issue of our lifetime, and it polls through the roof. Like bipartisan, it polled at like 67 to 70% favorability. But yet we've seen zero in terms of this legislative quadrennium on school choice. Do you see anything come in that regard? Have you heard anything?
You know, I know Senator Marshall's working on some different things. I'll tell you this, I'll support it 100%. I think, you know, I saw something the other day where Florida had more African-American students in private schools because of the school choice option than, you know, some other states had African-American students. And when you look at their test scores and the fact that the bottom line, you know, whether it's public school choice, you were talking about giving, you know, some type private choice to where they could, you know, kids that go to public school can have a choice to go to a private school through a voucher or something like that. I mean, those are all things that are going to create competition and it'll be good for our students in the state. You know, also like charter schools, I think those, you know, work because you kind of dial in on a niche. But at the end of the day, we've got to look at our education system and just be honest and say a lot of times, you know, what we've been doing and are doing, you know, it's not really working that well. And so we've got to look at what's working in other states and get those implemented, and certainly think school choice is one of those things that works. I don't think it's the only answer, but I think it's certainly one of the big pieces of the puzzle.
Well, and I appreciate that, and I know that, you know, that technically you don't vote unless there's a split decision, which I saw happen one time, by the way. Lieutenant Governor Kay Ivey, completely off guard. We had a tie vote, and everybody in the room stopped and looked at her, and she had this deer in the headlights, and she thought about it for a minute. She said she abstained. So, but all that to say, I do know that you can add the weight of your office to an issue, and so I certainly appreciate that. Hey, Governor, we got to take a quick break. Are you able to hang on during the break, and we'll wrap this thing up right afterwards? Does that go with you?
Sure, that's fine.
All right, absolutely. We're on with Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, heading to a short break right now. When we get back from that, we'll have a few more minutes to kind of talk to him about some things that may or may not come up in the legislative session. The Alabama legislature goes in next week. What's going to happen? I used to always joke, even when I was there, that the state's always safer when the legislature's not in session. I can say that because I was down there. Anyway, nonetheless, you got to keep your eyes open. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. You can also listen to us live online at rightsideradio.org. Just go to our website, click on Listen Live, and like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. Hey, going right back to the phones with our Lieutenant Governor. I've known him for many years, Will Ainsworth. Lieutenant Governor, thanks for holding on during the break. So, got a couple more pieces that I know are supposedly floating around out there, one of which is this is allegedly the year when they may do constitutional carry in terms of gun permits. What are you thinking? What are you hearing on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly got a lot of momentum. You know, it's something I've always supported. And, you know, when in the House, I carried the bill, was a co-sponsor and supportive of, you know, getting that passed. I've always viewed that as a tax on law-abiding citizens, but it always seems to fail for one reason or another. And, you know, sheriffs have some concerns and, you know, some of them are warranted when it comes to, you know, using it as a tool. But at the end of the day, I just think Second Amendment is pretty clear that it's a right for you to be able to carry a pistol without a permit. And so, and it's, like I said, it's a tax on law-abiding citizens. That's how I've always viewed this.
Yeah, and this one's got a little more legs than usual. I mean, we saw it several times while I was down there, and I think we passed it out of the Senate more than once and didn't get it through the House. But this year, it's the House has the agenda with this item on it, and House leadership includes Speaker Mac McCutcheon, who has a history in law enforcement himself, but he still supports this particular bill, apparently.
Yeah, and it looks like you know, correct. In the past, the House has always been where it failed. I think the votes are certainly there in the Senate, and so if it gets to through the House, I think it'll pass. And you know, I would imagine Governor Ivey would sign it and become law.
Well, what about one more before we lose our time here?
Sure.
Pandemic relief funds. So right now, the state's got a chunk of change, like a billion with a B, billion and a half, in state relief funds that came from the American Rescue Plan, the COVID relief stuff. And they've still got to allocate a big chunk of it. I know they had a special session to deal with giving some funds over to the prison plan. But what are you hearing on that? And do you have any idea where they're looking at allocating some of those funds right now?
You know, one of the priorities is to try to do different things in infrastructure, but in particular, like with broadband and making sure that, you know, this money actually helps people, you know, get access to broadband. I think that's important. And certainly something that we need, and the pandemic highlighted that even more with people sometimes not being able to work from home, even though they had to work from home, maybe if they were quarantined or if they had COVID. And so having broadband is important. You know, another thing we're working on is trying to get some of that money for infrastructure for our military bases and making sure that, you know, we get them taken care of. And so I think you're going to see, you know, go to projects such as that and, you know, things. And I'm sure there's a huge list of things. And I think it's our goal just to go through and make sure, prioritize, you know, what's going to, you know, help the state of Alabama. And, you know, I think broadband is certainly one of those that's important.
No, I think that's important. That also would help school kids. I mean, we don't ever want to see schools close down again like we did before, but there were kids that literally had no means of accessing their allegedly online education and just missed a whole chunk of education because they couldn't get to it. That being said, you know, one thing I do hope the legislature will continue to consider, or not continue, but will start to consider, is that some of those funds, according to recent court rulings, can be used to offset tax breaks. Like if you set up a sales tax holiday to boost sales in our brick and mortar stores, the revenues from the relief funds can be used to offset the losses from the sales tax holiday or something like that. I mean, I think there's a way to give things back to the community, not just to build things with government dollars, but to actually give back. And so I'm sure hoping that they'll consider something like that.
Yeah, I love that idea. I think it's great.
Well, Governor,
another
thing
I want to let you know,
yeah,
I actually qualified today for running for re-election for lieutenant governor. And so, you know, proud of the work we've done with military, workforce, fighting for conservative causes. Would love to have everybody's consideration for re-election.
Well, and I, by the way, I appreciate that. I was just trying to get those words out of my mouth. Was, as far as I know, you are one of the few offices that's actually running unopposed right now. That you do appear to control the flow in your own re-election campaign. There's only two ways to run: scared and unopposed, right?
We're running scared. We're working hard right now.
Well, I know you will, because that's really the only way you should run. You should always run like your hair's on fire. But Governor, best of luck to you. Thanks for calling in the day, and we certainly appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for your friendship, and I appreciate all your great ideas you've got for the state.
All right. Hey, thanks very much. That's Will Ainsworth, Lieutenant Governor for the state of Alabama, previously served in the Alabama State House. I've actually known Will for many years, well prior to politics, and so he is a good resource, and certainly has his finger on the pulse of what's happening around the state. We'll see how the election pans out, but I do believe right now he is very likely to continue running unopposed. I think, at the very least, my recollection is that the Attorney General is currently unopposed for the primary, and this will be the month we'll find out if that holds, because this is the month that people have to qualify for the races. They have to qualify in January or they can't run at all. All right, folks, we're going to come back and wrap this segment up and then get to one of my favorites, Copper's Corner, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back.